listening to the good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits. God specifically chose those three appointed times to do this. And somebody removes the word Passover in one place and replaces it with some cockamamie word that's demonic almost. And what does the entire Christian church celebrate? Easter Sunday. I'm not talking about resurrection now. Praise the Lord for the resurrection. What is it called?
I don't know that God, maybe God allowed this. His nature is to be hidden. And of course, what it is the truth of Passover. Now it's hidden behind this this word of deceit. But, you know, I mean, all things work together for good for those.
No question. So there's a reason for it. God allowed it.
Yep.
And maybe because don't forget in Romans 11, he said that he blinded the Jews until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. So there's and that word, by the way, in Greek for fullness of the Gentiles, it doesn't mean the very last Gentile that gets saved. It's the word pleroma. It literally means fullness of, meaning like the fullness of their inheritance. When the Gentiles get an understanding of what they've been grafted into and embrace it, there's a fullness happening right there. That's what's going to provoke Israel to jealousy right there. When the Gentiles really begin grasping what belongs to them.
Now, what do you think that looks like?
Well, it looks like they celebrate Passover. They celebrate all. Remember, Jesus said this in Matthew 5. He said, don't even think, I'm kind of paraphrasing it, don't even think for one second that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I have not come to destroy. I've come to fulfill. So when something's fulfilled, you don't throw it out. You now celebrate it in its fulfillment.
Yes, it doesn't come. He did not come to negate it. In other words, they had the Passover lamb. He became the ultimate Passover.
Exactly. So we are now in a sense, you know, by celebrating communion, you know, which is the Lord's body and blood. Where did that come from? I mean, that didn't come from Christian faith. None of this came from, first of all, I don't want to offend anybody, but Rhett, show me one scripture that talks about a religion called Christianity.
Yeah.
I want to see it in the Bible.
Religious people killed Jesus. Matter of fact, I'll tell you a quick story. Just last year, I was really upset with God, and I'm going to bed. Well, no, it wasn't last year because I was still in my old house. So maybe it was 2.5 years ago, whatever it was. I don't want to lie. So anyway, I'm going to bed. I said, you know, Jesus, I said, I don't think I want to go to your heaven. And I said, I mean this. I said, if your angels are going to act puffed up and arrogant and you know, like they're better than me, and then we've got other people that are well-learned and stuff, and they're going to be puffed. I said, I can't take an eternity of that. I cannot take it. I don't think I want to go to your heaven. Anyway, so I go to sleep. I wake up in the morning, and I open up a little teeny tiny Bible. And now that I'm an older man, I guess I could say old man, I think officially, and I open up this little teeny tiny Gideon Bible. And I know that it was a miracle because I could read it. And it says that Jesus was eating with his disciples, and they're sitting on the lawn. They're sitting on the ground. And anyway, they come up and they honor him because the Pharisees, these are the guys in the beautiful robes, and they're the leaders and the big shot religious guys and the priests, whatever. So they come by him and they say, Rabbi. So they honor him by calling him a teacher. They knew he was a teacher. So Rabbi, your disciples are eating with unclean hands. They hadn't cleaned their hands before they ate, I guess. And so Jesus looks up at them. Now, all of a sudden, maybe he adds a little bit into Rhett's spirit here, because he looks up at them with this incredulous look. And I just saw it in my head. And he goes, you follow the precepts of man, not God. For what goes in man's mouth and comes out the other end does not defile a man. What defiles a man is what comes out of his mouth. And suddenly I went, oh, my word. You're answering my prayer from last night. Even you don't want religious people in heaven. It was really,
wow.
Is that cool?
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, so let me finish up with this question. You said, how do we do it today? In other words, embrace what? So coming up in a couple of weeks is what? The Feast of Trumpets, as the Bible calls it. Okay, which is Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish people call it. It's not called Rosh Hashanah in the Bible or the New Year in the Bible. It doesn't have anything to do with that. But it's literally Yom Teruah, and the Hebrew means an awakening sound, a blast. It could be a shofar blast. But it's an awakening alarm sound, followed by 10 days later, the Day of Atonement. So there's a time right now, if the church understood, this is probably going to be the time that Jesus returns, will be the Feast of Trumpets, because it's the last trump, and I don't mean Donald Trump, but the last trump that the Lord's going to be, we're going to hear when he comes back. And so,
I don't know, can't get into the details, but you know, who's that famous author right now, the Jewish guy with the dark curly hair and the dark beard? He's very famous, all these New York Times bestsellers.
Oh, Jonathan Cahn.
Yeah, now I met him a couple times now. So he says that the Lord gave him a word and that about the Trumps. And he said, but there's one Trump missing. There's supposed to be so many Trumps. God told him that Donald Trump was the Trump that was missing.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, well, of course, yeah. Now, you got to be careful. Jonathan Cahn is a dear friend of mine. I speak at his congregation all the time.
Yeah.
I've known him for 30-plus years.
Yeah.
What's happening right now, obviously, his new book just came out called The Avatar, which is it's already in the New York Times bestseller.
Yeah.
But what's happening is that a lot of people are making AI videos of him. It looks like him, sounds like him. And so, in fact, I sent him one, and he goes, he said, this is an AI. He goes, every time we try to knock one down, another one comes up.
Hey, listen, let me ask you something.
Yeah.
I went, not last year, the year before, I went to a conference in Orlando with rabbis who believe
yes.
in Jesus.
Yes.
Now, you and I haven't seen each other in 32 years. What I want to know now is maybe you were in that very room. Were you there?
When? How many years ago?
Not last year, but the year before when they meet Orlando.
I used to go there every year.
Okay.
But I have not been there. Probably it's been at least maybe 10 years ago I was there last.
Because I don't know if we would have recognized each other. We haven't seen each other, you know.
I saw you when you were here, what, last year?
Yeah, that's only a year ago. So this is before that.
Yeah, no, of course. I probably wouldn't have recognized. You would have recognized me because I'm so much younger.
Okay. Yeah. By the way, how old are you?
Oh no, maybe 78.
78?
Yep.
Oh, you got me beat. I'm 71.
Yep.
78. And okay, so let's continue on here though with our conversation here.
Yes. Anyway, so that's talking about how do we embrace? Well, again, start celebrating these appointed times of God in their fullness. I did, believe it or not, several years ago, I did two Passover Seders at two Catholic churches. So they've never, actually, none of the people there were ever actually sat at a Passover. My teaching was Christ in the Passover. And I went through the whole, the whole Siddur, the Haggadah. We went through everything like you would with Jesus in the middle of all of it, of course. And they were like blown away. Blown away. They thought communion came from the Catholic Church. I mean, they don't have a clue where it came from. Even the way the Catholic Church is set up, it's set up almost like the temple times, almost like the Holy of Holies kind of thing, the outer court, the inner court, that kind of thing. So the ignorance, and I don't blame them, they just never taught it. They just don't know it, because so many quote-unquote Christian religions have sprung up. Last I knew, there was several thousand quote-unquote Christian religions out there. I don't see any of them in the Bible, but they're there,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, man creates, man is controlling. And he might go, so we're going to have a little group here, and nobody's to wear makeup, and nobody's to real drums. And this other group says, we're going to do this, or we're going to shave our heads, or we're going to...
Right, yeah.
What I say is what King David said. He said, cursed is the man that makes man his trust. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. Folks, do not put your soul totally in the hands of any human flesh. Yes, you should honor your teachers. You should respect people. But your ultimate and only ultimate teacher is Jesus Christ, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Right, Barry?
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
And even we were talking yesterday, you and I, about even some of these messianic groups have kind of cultivated a spirit of separation, whereas it's not separate. Like somehow the Jews that come to Jesus are somehow better than the Gentiles who have come to become Jews or converted to Jesus, and that's not true at all. We have to watch out because men will create things that cause fractures within.
Because the devil is the one who divides, you know.
Yes.
He knows a house divided can't stand, right? And so what does he try to do? Anywhere he can, he tries to cause a schism, a division somewhere. You know, that's his MO, you know. Yep. But God has made Jew and Gentile one new creation, one new man, according to Ephesians chapter 2.
One new man. Well, this is very exciting. I don't know how much longer we have. I don't know what time we started.
Probably. We started at, I think, 10.
It was a little after 10. Doolin,
you're about an hour and 8 minutes, or an hour and 8 minutes in.
An hour and 8 minutes in?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, then I guess we should wrap it up.
Yeah.
Because that'll cover, I think we're 12-minute segments here. Okay. Well, Barry, I don't want to say your last name because we promised we'd keep it just between us today, but yep. Barry converted to Judaism. It's amazing.
I didn't convert to Judaism. I didn't convert to Judaism.
No, in fact, you did.
No, you mean the real Judaism?
Yeah.
Right. The real Jewish faith. Right.
You were just a social Jew.
Right. Yeah. Secular.
I misspoke.
Biblical Judaism. Right. Yeah.
You know, a lot of the times we're going to somebody's funeral, and I say, "Oh, we've got Mary's wedding today. I mean, funeral." And I always say it accidentally. So somewhere subconsciously, I know the truth is that, in fact, the day of death is, in fact, the ultimate wedding. Isn't the marriage a foreshadowing of our eternal relationship with Jesus, Barry?
Oh, totally. Totally. 100%. Yes.
Want to explain that briefly?
Well, there's just a lot of richness into it. You know, there's a lot to it. It's too much to explain, probably. But, you know, in fact, I did a wedding once, a couple of times, where I had the bride come down first, which is, you know, it's usually she's last to make a big entrance, but I had the bride come down first, and then I had the shofar blown, and we cried out, "Behold, comes the bridegroom," just like the return of the Lord coming back for his bride.
Yeah.
It's such a picture of the marriage feast and what's going to be happening. And then the groom comes down the aisle, and the bride kind of runs to him.
Yeah.
And it's like such a beautiful picture of what the wedding, you know, the Lord, how he comes after us. It's such a beautiful picture, you know, of the wedding feast, you know. So, there's a lot there to discuss when it comes to the bride, the wedding.
I think we should get together again, maybe have some more shows together. That would be okay with you. Before we say goodbye today, somebody's listening. They could be Jewish. They could be Gentile. Maybe they don't know this Yeshua, this Jesus.
Yeah.
Could you take 30 seconds, just a short 30-second prayer, and tell them what they need to do to be born again?
Absolutely. Well, Father, thank you right now for each and every one that's listening today that may not know you. Holy Spirit, just make yourself so real to each and every one of them. Lord, let them know you just like I did. Whether you're Jewish or you're not Jewish, we all need to come to know the risen King of Glory. And all you got to do is say, Father in heaven, I know that I have sinned against you. And I ask you right now, please forgive me. I believe that Jesus came in the flesh. He died, he was buried, and he rose again. And because of that shed blood, he paid the price that I'm supposed to get. And I am thanking you, Lord, and I'm receiving him in my heart right now. And I know that for the rest of my life, I choose to serve you with my whole heart. In the name of Jesus, Yeshua.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Well, Barry, it's been a lifetime of we separated because we did different things, and I moved away for 30-something years, but I feel like I was just at your house yesterday. Love you in the Lord.
You too, bro.
Please say hi to your beautiful son, who will be my friend. He's such a sweetheart. And we'll talk again soon, okay?
Okay, Brett. Take care. God bless.
Hey, bless you.
Tune in again Monday at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.
We'd like to thank Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie for sponsoring It's a New Day. We'd also like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting us.
Portions of WCNO's broadcast day are underwritten by Palm Beach Ironworks, specializing in structural steel fabrication and installation. Palm Beach Ironworks also provides machine shop services, welding,